I'm Zena.
And I'm Renee.
Welcome to When You Just Want a Glass of Wine, a podcast dedicated to making wine drinking more approachable and inclusive. Join us as we decode the language and unlock the customs of wine drinking. Cheers.
Cheers.
I hope that when I open this, it's going to be perfectly timed. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to try this.
We're ready?
Okay.
We're ready.
Welcome to this episode of
Woo!
When You Just Want a Glass of Wine. All right. I'm going to pour this before we do anything else. We're going to talk a little bit more about it in a few minutes, but I am pouring a glass for each of us of the Schaum. It's a sparkling Merlot, and it is absolutely delicious.
That's right, kids. White wine from black grapes.
That's right.
Yeah, it's definitely not red.
And that is our friend Ada's voice. You're going to have a great time, so come along with us. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Here we go. Oh, absolutely delicious.
Oh,
it is
nice.
Nothing like a good breakfast sparkle.
We're 11:35 in the morning on a Tuesday. I love our Tuesdays,
it's
man.
5:35 somewhere.
Exactly. Renee, why don't you start by telling everybody how to listen to us and everything else?
Please follow, like, and subscribe us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Check us out at whenyoujustwantaglassofwine.com, on RSS at whenyoujustwantaglassofwine, and at Instagram at whenyoujustwantaglassofwine.
It's not complicated.
It's not complicated. It's just a glass of wine.
It's just a glass of wine. Well, today's episode is extra special. I feel like we've said that a lot, but this one...
We've been very fortunate.
We have, and this is spectacular because I am with my good girlfriend, Ada Paula. She is the CEO of Alchemy Forever, a skincare company that I have been using for a very long time. We are calling this episode Sip and Spa. So if you're listening, we actually are going to hashtag skincare is self-care and wine is self-care if you're listening and we feel like hashtagging. I am so excited, Ada. Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Zena. You've been so kind to me all year.
Aw, this is going to be so much fun. So Ada and I have known each other since book club.
Don't say.
I was just going to say since book club.
Okay.
Was that like 10 years ago?
No, that's a lot longer.
Oh, yeah, because, 13, 14, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we've drank a lot of wine together. I would like to say, like jokingly, we had a book club that was about wine, but we had a book club that was about wine and books.
And girlfriends.
We had a lot of talking, a lot of crying. And I remember one day I walked in at one of the lowest of the lowest points of my life. And Ada just kind of calmly, in her Swiss way, with a hug, walked me into the kitchen and had a beautiful bottle of wine. And she said, "This one's yours. You just have to open it," because it was older.
I remember like it was yesterday.
Yes, right. And I opened it. It brings tears to my eyes. It was a very difficult day. I didn't say very much that day at book club, but it was a lot of love. She sends, also one of the things I love about Ada is she sends these beautiful cards, handwritten cards.
Love it.
For almost every holiday. And I have this set of cards that has gone into two restaurants and beauty, and it was the first thing I hung here, and it is so apropos. It is a set of these pink and white cards, and it says, "Everything has beauty. Be your beautiful self, but first champagne, pop the bubbly." Mm-hmm. And when Ada sent them to me individually over a time frame of probably 2 or 3 years, I don't think we realized, we knew it was a theme because we love champagne and all that sort of stuff.
But not that big a
theme. Right? And I put it up in one of my restaurants up in Maryland, and I was like, this fits perfectly. And then it was the first thing I hung up in beauty. Nice. So we have a wonderful, wonderful friendship. Ada, you have so much in your resume. Tell us a little bit about you, your background, and let's get started talking about Alchemy and why skincare is self-care.
Yes, thank you for having me again. So my name is Ada Paula. I'm the CEO of Alchemy Forever, and as will become more relevant in a little bit, I was born and raised in Switzerland. So in case you wonder about the theme of today's wine tasting, that'll make sense to you. I grew up in Geneva, and I ended up coming to the U.S. for college, and what was supposed to be 4 years ended up being, I think, well, I'm not going to say.
Many more.
Since college.
Yes, and it was Georgetown. You went to Georgetown, right?
I went to Harvard undergrad and Georgetown Business School.
Yeah,
which is how I ended up in D.C., which I now consider
so you're
my home.
A slacker is what you're saying.
Basically.
Yes.
I see it. Definitely not an overachiever.
No.
Perfectionist.
This is why we love
her.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so I have the huge privilege of having an amazing father who was the first physician to bring laser technology to Europe. This is back in the late 1980s. And that ultimately led him to create a skincare line. And so my day job, evening job, everything job is running our family's, one of our family's businesses, which is Alchemy Forever, an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory face and body care line.
And it's wonderful.
And we've always thought, to your to get back to your question, one of our, you know, taglines or mottos is self-care is skincare, or skincare through self-care, or self-care through skincare. Really, this vision of taking care of your skin is oftentimes the only time that you're taking care of yourself during the day.
True.
You're in your bathroom, hopefully with the door closed, maybe with a cat in the bathroom, but you know, it's your time.
Right.
And I mean, I know, you know, we have jobs, we have people we're accountable to, we have families, we have pets, we have people we're caring for, and that leaves very little time in the day to care for ourselves. And you can't pour from an empty cup, and so skincare, self-care is really how I try to fill my cup. And that's why I love this industry. It's, yes, you know, people are like, oh, it's about vanity. And of course, we all want to look younger, and I want to have more even skin tone and fewer wrinkles. And but it's more than that. It's really about how you take care of yourself, how your skin looks changes how you feel about yourself, how you present yourself to the world. And that is ultimately self-care.
Absolutely. I think that's another T-shirt we need.
Yes.
We're collecting.
I like that we're collecting T-shirt topics. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, this is absolutely right. We're going to start with, we are going to talk about the fact that if you're listening right now, we are doing this, and this will come out on October 14th of this year, which is going to come out in celebration of Ada's birthday. That's why we planned it around that.
My birthday month.
It's your birthday month. So it's perfect. We're starting with some sparkling Swiss. But also, she has graciously created a 20% off coupon. This is like our first coupon for us.
I know.
It's the first thing. It's called, it'll get you 20% off code SIP and Spa, SIPANDSPA at the Alchemy Forever. We'll talk more about that at the end as well. But
that's why we don't normally start drinking until 12.
Right? Especially when we get cool things like a 20% off. And I'm super excited because I had slacked a little and just started not using Alchemy products. And I was very fortunate, we're going to talk about a little bit with this the peptide lip booster, to be a part of their launch of it. And as a gift that we got this whole range. As I said, this whole range of skincare. And I started putting it on, and then Ada had a release party, and some friends of mine put it on. And I looked at one of my friends, Wendy, and I said, "My God, your skin looks great. What are you doing?" She goes, "You know, I'm wearing Alchemy Forever." That's what it, just like that, though. It was really funny. So, you know, so I'm very excited
about
that.
I'm looking forward to it because I have not had it.
Yes.
Oh, I will fix that.
Yeah. Tell us a little, well, actually, it's a good time to start with this. Tell us a little bit about the product, because when I mentioned it to Renee, you were worried because you have very sensitive skin, and I was like, Ada's product is perfect.
I have wimpy baby skin, according to my mother.
Wimpy baby skin.
Your skin looks beautiful, but we are then exactly right for you. You know, the focus of our brand, we are antioxidant-based, which means we use a lot of antioxidants, both plant-based and synthetic, that fight free radicals. Free radicals are the molecules in UV mostly that create havoc for the skin and accelerate aging. And more specifically, even we calm inflammation. So everything that we do is anti-inflammatory. And so, you know, we fit really well with a lot of more, some would say aggressive, some would say result-oriented brands that use really powerful ingredients like salicylic acid, alpha-hydroxy acid, and these types of things, which are wonderful ingredients, but we stay away from them because we cater to calming inflammation and to very sensitive, sensitized, reactive skin types, which is a majority of us.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the, we're not a single ingredient line. Like we use the European blueberry as one of our signature ingredients, but we're more of a fruit salad, as my mom always describes it. We use a lot of different ingredients. And of course, one of the key ingredients that we use is grapes. So we use grape seed extract. We also sometimes use the whole grape. We can talk about that a bit later. But, you know, one of the beautiful things about grapes is they are packed with antioxidants.
Yes.
And antioxidants is a big family of molecules. So, you know, I think the consumer knows antioxidants are good. They help to fight signs of aging. In grapes specifically, we have four key types of antioxidant compounds. We have polyphenols. This is what resveratrol is. And most people think grapes equals resveratrol, which is true. It's a simplification, but it is accurate. There's anthocyanins, there's vitamin C, and there's ellagic acid. And all of these compounds have anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, some studies even show anti-cancer if you ingest them. There's no studies that show that topically, but if you ingest them. And so they're really healthy.
See, we knew what we were doing.
We knew what we were doing.
You're onto something. You are onto something. Yeah.
I love this geeky part of it too.
I know.
Right?
This is fabulous. Exactly right.
Yeah. So let's just start then. Since we're talking grapes. I already took a couple of sips. It's just been
it's
a day.
Go ahead and pour me a little bit.
You want a little bit more too?
So it's been a day and it's 11:30.
I love how Renee started with. I've been running late. I'm like, it's Renee. It's 11:15. I don't know how you could have been running late all morning.
It's been that kind of a week, and it's Tuesday.
This is the Chaum. It's a spumante brew, so it's dry. From Angelo Di Leo. It is a sparkling Merlot, but it has no skin contact, so it is clear. And Renee,
it's got some zip on it. I love it.
Very, very pale, very pale color. Look at that.
Very pale.
Super pale.
Pale lemon color. Yeah, it's lovely. And it's one of those things where, you know, people will be surprised by a sparkling Merlot. But if you remember from our premiere, the Lauren Perrier episode, champagne is actually made from a black grape.
That's
from
right.
A couple black grapes, primarily Pinot Noir. So the inside of most grapes is actually white. It's all the same color, so it's not the same. So this is no skin contact. It's beautiful, though.
Yep. It's so juicy.
It's very juicy. Yeah. It's very fresh.
What do you think?
I think it's super fresh. I like the word fresh. It's even a little spicy in a way.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when you emailed me about the sparkling Merlot, mm-hmm. I had a sparkling red in my mind.
Oh, yeah. You know? But a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do.
This is clear like champagne. This comes from the Italian part of Switzerland, right?
Ticino? I believe, yeah, yes, it does. It comes from Ticino.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, one of the amazing things about Switzerland is we have four languages and kind of four separate parts of the country. So I come from Geneva, which is in the French-speaking part. We also have the German-speaking part, which is the largest part of Switzerland. And then we have Ticino, which is the Italian part. And each of these parts have, you know, and there they speak Italian, take a little bit from their neighbor. Mm-hmm. So Geneva is a bit French, Bern is a little bit German,
right.
Lugano, for example, is a bit Italian. And then the fourth language that we have is Romansh, which is technically, I think, a dialect spoken in the mountains. But this, I have to confess, I have never had a wine from Ticino. I love this.
Right? And now, so what makes this also great is it's a great priced wine. It's a little bit more right now. You know, prices are sadly going up. But in all, it's a well-priced wine because it is done in a spumante brew style. Although you really do get, it's not done in the method Champenoise.
Yeah.
But you really do get a little bit of brioche to it. You get a little bit of that, even though
And that might be, that might be coming from the grape.
You know,
like you get a little bit of different texture.
Definitely some pretty acid to it. I mean, I could, you know.
Nice bubbles. Well,
and nice bubbles, right?
It's a, you know.
And I would definitely do, I mean.
A really nice high-end Prosecco. Yep. You would look towards that.
Yep.
Which would make sense from that area.
And I think when I first brought this in, I saw Brut, so I knew it was dry. And it is dry. Mm-hmm. It's pretty acid. It's dry. But I saw Spumante and.
It threw you off. Because you're thinking Asti.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, cheap, whatever.
No shade on the Asti drinkers, but it's a different.
It's a bit different.
It is. And I, you know, price is probably between 26 and 30, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
But Ada, you paired this. Tell us what you paired it with.
Yes.
I'm very excited about this one because I was in the launch and she made me look really pretty and all that sort of stuff.
Zina was one of our launch models.
It's fabulous.
Models where we only use real women for real skincare. But anyway, so the product that Zina participated in the launch for and our newest that we launched in February of this year is our Peptide Lip Booster. And this is our first foray into lip care. And you know, lip care is face care, is skin care. But it's been really fun because it is a little bit different. So this product, it's not color. So it's treatment.
Yep.
It has immediate and long-term benefits. So immediately you feel a little bit of a tickle.
A tingle.
A little tingle. Your lips have that immediate boost, that plump effect. And there's also an enhancement of your lip's natural color. So all of this happens within the first 5 minutes of application. The texture is like a melted butter, if mm-hmm. you will. So it's not like sticky like a gloss, like your hair won't stick to your lips, you know, right. which I hate that more than anything. Mm-hmm. But it's nicely nourishing. It has a number of different oils. It has jojoba seed oil. It has sunflower oil, vitamin E. And then over the long term, it has two beautiful peptides that will help stimulate the lip's collagen production. Ooh. And so over time, it will have this longer term anti-aging effect of making sure that your lips remain plump. Because, you know, as we age, our collagen, mm-hmm. our natural collagen production system slows. It becomes lazy. It's like everything. Our metabolism becomes lazy. Our sebaceous gland production becomes lazy. So our skin gets drier. And so this will help to kind of stimulate that natural process of collagen building. And, you know, immediate plump and a flush in color is beautiful. You can wear it instead of lipstick, under or over lipstick. Mm-hmm. But I'm 47. Well, in my birthday month, this is the first time I'm saying this out loud. I'm about to turn 48. Holy wow. And so I care about how my lips are going to look in 5 years and 10 years. And I take a lot of good care of my face, mm-hmm. you know, the skin of my face. And so this is how to take care of your lips.
You know, I didn't think about that. I have it at home. I have it at home. I have it in my purse right now. I have at least two of them. And I'm going to start wearing it more also because of the...
Yeah.
I usually put it on over lipstick, but every now and then I just kind of walk out and I just put it a little bit on and it's fabulous.
And so the reason I paired it with this sparkling wine is to me, I mean, I love sparkling wine anytime, but it's particularly suited to the holiday season.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of people still kind of reserve champagne, sparkling wine in general, for special occasions and the holidays. And I think the Peptide Lip Booster is going to be your must-have holiday party accessory. It's also a really nice stocking stuffer. You know, skincare is not so gifty, but this one really is. And the little like tickle that it gives you, the little spiciness that it has, it makes me think of the bubbles mm-hmm. in this.
Oh, absolutely.
In this wine. Completely. In
the sparkling wine. And you said the little spicy note on that one as
exactly.
well.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I thought they would make a really good pairing.
I love it. And you know, I probably should explain to everybody, we're kind of doing this sip and spa where we're tasting Swiss wines that we brought in specially for Ada, and we're pairing it with skincare as kind of a match, right? In a fun way. So we are going to go in a direction we might go back and forth between some whites and some reds in a different direction. But as
don't judge us, people.
Yes, as we learned in one of our podcasts, it's a rule or a recommendation.
It's just a recommendation. It'll be fine.
So let's talk a little bit about a couple of questions for you. What was your aha moment and why? Like, who were you with? What was that glass of wine where you suddenly went, oh, I really like this? Now, I know you had a lot of wine in your life as a Swiss, French, but did you have a particular moment?
Well, I'm going to preface this by echoing what Renee said. Don't judge. This is a judgment-free zone.
This is a
judgment-free also, zone. Like I said, I grew up in Switzerland. I moved to the U.S. when I was 17. So I have two moments, and they are drastically different, one from the other. I remember having really, really good French red. I don't remember what the wine was. I was too young. I think I was 6 or 7. Like I said, please don't judge.
I love that you have the memory.
It's called envy, not judging.
Okay, thank you. And I had a little sip from my father's glass. We were at a very nice dinner, and I thought, this is delicious.
The fact that you remember it
is yeah.
Amazing.
And this this means that I only in French wines mm-hmm. I only like extremely nice expensive red mm-hmm. French.
I can vouch for that.
It like ruined my palate for most French reds mm-hmm. that are, you know, like the equivalent of a $26 bottle mm-hmm. of sparkling wine, which I love. And it's not about price, but it's just that was such an intense moment for my young palate that it kind of ruined less expensive French wines for me. The second vivid memory that I have is I was just after college. So I think I was of legal drinking age. I was probably 22 or 23. And I went to a friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were all out of college. So it was a nice wedding, but it was on a budget. And mm-hmm. they served Yellowtail Chardonnay.
Oh.
And I loved it.
Oh, even better then.
Uh-huh. And I loved it. That's and right. I have a love for inexpensive California Chardonnays like you have no idea. Sometimes the people that I'm with look at me like, you're drinking what? And again, I don't know. It was one of my first experiences of American Chardonnay. It was a, it was a happy occasion. Mm-hmm. It was friends getting married. I think it might have been my first like adult wedding that mm-hmm. I was going to. And I remember the bottle. I have a very distinct memory of the label. Right. And I had more than one glass. And I thought, this is delicious. And again, growing up, I did not drink American wines.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents are not really white drinkers. I had some white Swiss, which we will get to.
Yes.
And then I had very expensive red from France. Mm-hmm. So my younger palate was very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously dictated by what my parents were drinking or not drinking.
So like New World Whites were where you were going. You were like, I like some like, New World Whites.
This is like the Wild Wild West.
Yes,
it's like a whole new direction of white wine for me. And
so I don't think I've ever known that about you. Usually a book club, there's some Sancerre thrown in there.
I try not to serve Yellowtail because people do judge.
That you will get judged.
I'm going to say maybe a little bit on that one. But
Serve it really cold.
Yeah. No. Normally we at book club, it was champagne and Sancerre and some but beautiful
French.
But let's
break down, do you like the butter? Do you like the maloactic, the butter?
I like the smoothness.
The smoothness?
I like the butter, complete the lack of acidity.
Okay.
I like, I don't.
Which you would get a lot of in, I would think, French and Swiss whites because you're going to
get
cool climate.
Yes. You'll have to educate me on how you taste the fondant Vassalet that we'll drink. I don't taste the acidity, but, again, it's so.
If it's a balanced wine, you're not going to get it as much. But yeah.
I also really have a problem with wines that taste like green peppers.
Oh.
And so Sauve Blancs and Pinot Grigio.
Sauvignon Blanc would be, you get that.
Certain
Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes, again, certain. Yeah. Where I made
American Sauvignon Blanc. You might get a New World Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I love
and inexpensive cabs, which is why she likes the more expensive cabs.
More expensive
an inexpensive cab's going to give you that green
that
pepper.
Pepper. No,
hers is melon, just so you know.
I hate melon on wine. Yeah. I will.
We all have our fruits. Yeah.
We all have our fruit. And I'm like, the wine is perfect for somebody else. It's just not me. It's the only one that Zena said she said me go, no. And I'm like, I set it across the table. I'm like, I don't even want it near me. Is how bad I don't like it. How much I don't like it. So. One of the things about Swiss culture that I didn't realize and like learning about this because I didn't know a lot about Swiss wines either from Swiss wine culture is it reminds me a little bit of Austria in that the majority of the wines produced in Switzerland are consumed in Switzerland. You don't export a lot of wine. I mean, a few occasionally. But
it was not easy for me to get these.
But not easy to get this. Can you talk about that?
Well, Switzerland is a very small country. So if you think land-wise, I think we have as many residents as the state of Virginia, about. We're around 8 million, 8.5 million inhabitants. I don't know enough to say what landmass it is, but we're small. So we grow grapes, of course, but, there's not a lot.
And that, area would be even smaller, I would imagine.
Yeah, I tell people it's like Rhode Island, which might be a bit of an exaggeration, but it's, it's a small country. So, yes, we grow vines and not a lot of them, and we really like our wine, and so it's very rare to send it out. And Zena, you Renee did a fantastic job finding Swiss wines, but I very rarely see Swiss wines on menu lists.
Yeah.
There's not a big Swiss wine section in any wine store or wine section in a big grocery store that I've seen. It's not. It's very.
It was very challenging. We had a rosé that we had for quite some time. Pricing went up as it does. It's a more expensive production in Switzerland. And it's a very difficult hand sell because people don't know it. So it is a little challenging in that sense. But that's why I was so excited to do this. Andrew and I really kind of dug around to find some nice ones.
And, I have to say, I have to brag a little on Switzerland, but some of our wine regions are even UNESCO sites.
Oh, nice. I did not realize that.
Uh-huh, because they're so special. And so it's really, there's some excellent, excellent wines from Switzerland. And in the end, you're going to have to just go there for a visit and do a wine tour.
I totally
twist my arm.
Mm-hmm. Spent a semester in college living in Switzerland. And the only thing I could afford, because I was very broke, was wine and some cheese. Is it the Migros we shopped at?
Mm-hmm. I love the Migros.
Yeah, and I walked from, I was about a 20-minute walk from downtown, and about a 20-minute walk up into the hill near, is it the OAS or something up there? The school was up in that area.
What part of Switzerland were you?
Right in Geneva.
Okay.
Yeah. And all I really could afford was cheese and wine and
you say
chocolate.
That as though it's not the food and drink of the gods.
I'm like, well, are the essentials. What else do you need?
This is why the Swiss and the French are healthier than we are. That's what they do.
My favorite chocolate was Frigor. I loved it. The little tiny
Frigor is to die for.
Yeah, and every now and then you can find it at like World Market or something, but it's not easy to find. Oh, so
I'll remember this. Yes, it's my trip. I did not know this about you. This otherwise, you would have been eating Frigor for the last 15 years of your life.
It is so delicious. So now we have poured. So we're going to go back and forth. We do have some white in the glass, but what we're pouring right now is the Neuchâtel Château d'Auvergne Pinot Noir. And I just poured that into the glass. Now, I did open this about an hour ago. I did not lightly chill it. I thought about it, but it's, you know, not a particularly warm day. And this is from the shores of Lake Neuchâtel. And I'm going to let Ada, because she knows Switzerland better than I, or better than us, talk a little bit about that region, about Neuchâtel. Where is it kind of located from you in Geneva?
Well, Zina, you did tell me that you were not going to ask me difficult geography questions, but I can tell you that Neuchâtel is on an absolutely gorgeous lake, which is a lot of the most beautiful Swiss towns and cities are on lakes. And it is in so in Switzerland, we have what we call cantons, mm-hmm. which are the equivalent of what we call here states. And so Geneva is in the canton of Geneva. Neuchâtel is in the canton of Neuchâtel. This is relatively rare. Usually it has a different name. And it's in the also French-speaking part of Switzerland. It's not that far from Geneva, I would say, maybe an hour and a half or so. And I did not know.
I was a little nervous there.
I don't know Neuchâtel as a specific wine region, but this is absolutely delicious.
You know, the second I took a sip of it, I thought earthy French Pinot Noir. I got terroir right away.
You're getting terroir.
There's no pepper, thank you.
No, not on a Pinot Noir. No, you can get it. Also, it's a perfect grape for that area because it's early ripening. Mm-hmm. We just learned about that in my class last night.
Yeah.
Why it's great in cool climates.
With the lake, I would think.
With the lake, you get some moderating impact on it.
But I really did get earthiness right away, and that is to us a real kind of old world versus new world, where you get the terroir over the winemaker style. To me, this would be just like a lovely.
This is a 2013. Did I say that right?
2013.
It's on the front.
I'm looking at 2022. There's another thing on the back that said something else. So I think this is absolutely delicious.
And when you say terroir, you mean the earth, right?
The earth. It's the climate. Yeah. It's the soil type. It's all the different moderating factors of the weather and everything that go into that. And so
sense of place.
You would think of it more in terms of like tertiary flavors in a wine. So instead of like fruit, you would get things like mushroom, earth, wet leaves.
And to me, this is I can't speak to it so eloquently or with the right words, but to me, this is a very European Pinot Noir.
Absolutely.
Because I do taste a little bit of the earth, which I and my parents, especially my father, can't believe when I say this, but I really like, California reds have grown more for my palate because there's less earth and there's more smoothness fruit. And fruit.
And that's, And this, you definitely get like forest floor.
Yeah.
it comes right out.
It's very old.
A lot of berry going on too.
You do get red. Yeah, you do get red fruit, some red fruit in it and berry.
Tell us, Ada, what you thought this would be a good pairing with. If you were drinking this, what would you be doing?
Well, if I were drinking this, I would certainly be exfoliating my face. And the red berry the red berry comment is perfect. So I picked our Gentle Refining Scrub to go with this one. I thought there would be a little bit of berry. One of the ingredients that we use is the cranberry. I know there's no cranberry in this one, and it doesn't taste like cranberry, but the berry connection was there for me. And then, you know, our Gentle Refining Scrub is this crazy balance of very smooth, adequate for skin type, like what you describe, Renee, very sensitive, but also it's a very powerful refiner. So you have that immediate effect of more glowy skin. And so it's gentle and strong, soft and powerful at the same time. And, you know, Pinot Noir for
perfect
me.
Perfect Pinot Noir description.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I was going to say, I can't describe it with wine words, but it's kind of both of those things together. It's not just strong, big, bold like a Cabernet. It's not just fresh and light like a white wine. So that's why I picked the gentle refining shrub.
Yeah, you usually have like a medium alcohol. It's not a big smack you in the face wine, but it can be really rich and well in its flavor profile. Mm-hmm. And especially as it ages and goes in.
Absolutely. And I use this, I manage, because I have Ada's voice in my head often, I manage to do this at least once, if not twice a week, after I use my favorite cleaning scrub, which is the cream. I have both cleaning scrubs, but the cream cleaning scrub.
The gentle cream cleanser.
Yes. Oh, you have to get that. Mm-hmm. It makes me, the gentle cream cleanser, for some reason, I'm saying this truthfully, it makes me so happy to use. Yes. It's just pretty and you put it on and then after you do this, because you're supposed to put this on clean skin, right? I'm not mm-hmm. wrong on that. Yeah, clean yet correct. Dry skin. And then it reminds me of when we were kids, and I mean this in a positive way, but remember you used to do that apricot scrub?
Oh, yeah.
But stay this nice. Is the really good adult elegant version of that. Like this
the
is
the one that shall not be named.
Yes, yes, yes. But it
that will not like scrub my
but
face
it was
off.
The only thing I did then, right? And so this
it's the only
is
thing anybody had then.
Yeah, right. And this is the adult version of it. It's the pretty thing that you put on and then you do a little they scrub on that. It. And it lasts.
You're saying adult. I kept saying you were like the what version of it? I think you're saying the Ada version of it. And I was like,
it is also like, the Ada.
The Ada version of it. I was like, it's the Ada version. I'm like, that's great. I'm like, but I was like, you're saying adult. I'm sorry.
I have had this.
That's
this lasts for so long. If you do it once or twice a week, you don't need that much on it. And it's absolutely fabulous. And we love it. I love it a lot.
New skincare.
I'm doing so well with my skincare. So Ada, we're going to talk a little bit about some favorites. You travel all over on a regular basis. You have your wonderful husband Edwin in your home down in New Orleans. You spend summers, and I say this, in Greece on an island.
Not all summer, for the record.
A lot of it. A lot. You're on an what's the name? What's the name of the island again?
Tinos.
It's fabulous, and they have their cats there. You live in Georgetown, and you have your family. They are Ada is one of four sisters. And it's fabulous to follow them on Instagram.
You make me sound so glamorous.
You are glamorous. I love the sisters. They're fabulous. Tell us, in the DMV area and New Orleans, what are a couple of your favorite restaurants that might have I know you guys love beer. She's very down to earth, the sports person. But are there some places like you like to go and drink a glass of wine?
Yes. So I will start with Georgetown. Like you said, I live in Georgetown, and I actually don't venture out of a like 7-block radius much in D.C., I must confess. I love Peacock Cafe. Yes. I've been going there since I moved to D.C. in 2002, and it feels like my Cheers. Yep. You know, from
the I love going there with Ada, because I walk in, they're like, hi, and I walk in and see her, and they're like, oh, she's over there. What did you want? What can I get you? They're lovely either way, but they love you.
And I love them back. And so they have a nice, they have a very nice wine list with a blend of European wines and California wines. So
they serve
always,
it very nicely.
And
too.
They serve it very nicely. Yeah. I also really like Apero.
Yes.
Which is
she's lovely.
Which is also not far from where I am. This is a much smaller spot. It's a little bit more exclusive. It's a little bit more for more high end.
Yeah.
And they also have a very nice wine list, and they have some very interesting sparkling wines, actually. They have a
and
pretty
caviar.
Big, well, probably the two, one because of the other and the other because of the wine.
Right.
So they have a really nice champagne menu.
Yeah.
And then, let's
And you've
see.
Never been there, have you?
No.
Ellie is the owner, I believe, right?
I think that's
she's
correct.
Lovely. Great reputation. They've been up for a couple of Rammies. It's right on P Street, like kind of across from the 7-Eleven-ish over in that area. We have to go.
Okay.
I haven't been since I went with Kelly over, I think it was COVID time and we bopped in and it was, I've been
it's
only
really
once
nice.
Or twice.
Yeah. I love it for brunch.
Oh.
In case you are a brunch person.
Are you a champagne at brunch person?
I'm a mimosa at brunch
person. We've asked that question. Yeah. Okay.
And then in New Orleans, you know, New Orleans is known for its food and drinking scene. I also would say New Orleans is much more of a cocktail town than a wine town. but I have to give a plug to my brother-in-law's relatively new place It's called Fives. It is right in the main square, and it is a beautiful, small. It's more, they do the best. What's the cocktail? Oh my God.
Sazerac?
No. Yes. Yes. And
Hurricane.
They make the best Hurricane, and they make the best Ramos Gin Fizz.
So right in the main square where the statue cathedral. Is?
Yeah.
So if I've had...
Please don't ask me a geography question.
Okay, but it's like right in there. What's the name of it again?
Fives.
And when did it open?
Maybe a year and a half ago. It's relatively new.
Oh, okay. And like an homage to Fives, like an homage to like Louis Armstrong and like the Fives and Sixes, stuff like that.
I never thought about that.
Like but a jazz.
That would make the most. That would make sense.
That would make a lot of sense. And they have beautiful cocktails, but they also have great wines, zero American wines.
Oh, mm-hmm. where they bring in
Europe?
Yeah. Well, maybe they can bring in like one Swiss. So
I'll talk to him about that at Thanksgiving.
Oh, how exciting. That is really wonderful.
I think the Charme, the Spumante Brut would be perfect for like a Mardi Gras.
Totally.
It's got the colors going already.
Yep.
You could
that
do
can
some
be
things.
The gold.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
That could be the gold.
Mm. Well, I'm loving this. It's opening up a little bit. Well, now we're going to move to, we're just really welcome to a Tuesday, right? We're going to move to, when I told Ada one of the options, you said this is...
Fondant.
And your favorite. One of your favorites.
It is my favorite.
I am so excited because I know nothing about this wine. Tell us why it's your favorite. So it is the, where's the bottle? Ada, read that to us.
It is Chateau Constellation from Sion. So Sion is about 2.5 hours from Geneva. One of my sisters lives there. It is a region known for Fondant, also known as Chasselas. We have two names for the same wine. It is in the canton of Vaud. So a third state, we talked about Neuchâtel, Geneva, and now it's the canton of Vaud. And I love this because I think it's the easiest, smoothest, most gentle, everyday must-drink white wine.
I will say that having... told me that you like the yellowtail. that you don't like the minerality.
Has no minerality in it.
It doesn't. And I thought in the notes that it kind of would, but it really doesn't. But this to me has got to be an oak. And it is definitely rounder. It tastes like some malolactic in it, more so than Lees. I failed on a lot of my research on this one, but I can see why you really like this. It's round, it's rich, it's creamy.
Something though, it's got something in it that would make it pair with a fondue.
Oh well, yeah,
it's because it's got to have something to cut through that. There's got to have some acid in it, or a minerality, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not overly, it doesn't taste like a California Chardonnay to me.
No. But I can see why, the roundness and creaminess. It could be the lees.
It could be the lees contact.
It serves me right because we had so many bottles and we have, but I could definitely see where you would love this. And I can see, so we said it kind of didn't have a lot of minerality, but.
It has a touch of melon.
And that,
I managed to find a wine with melon taste. Here, give it to me.
No. It's got some. It's got other fruits predominant.
But when you taste it, and whenever you taste wine, and you kind of go, that is acid.
Yes, and it doesn't do that to my tongue right now.
It did it a little bit to me without realizing it, and I only realized it as we were sitting. So it definitely has a little bit of a, but not a lot, but it's definitely there. And that would cut through nicely.
Maybe back here.
Yeah, back here. It's exactly where I'm getting it to. Yeah. And that would cut through fondue.
But I get like some white pepper notes on this as well, which reminds me a little bit of like a Gruner, but less bright, less acid.
Well, let's think about it. I mean, we're talking about wines that are kind of in that latitude-ish regional climatic area that I'm not surprised have some similarities.
You'll get some similar in the soil, some similarity in the terroir.
And explain to us, Ada, because you brought up the most fascinating part when I told you about this as well, why it has two names.
I don't know why, because this is very confusing. And depending on which part of Switzerland you're in and you're looking at the wine menu, you'll see Fondant, sometimes you'll see Chasselas. And I have to say that I mean, it took me a minute to understand that these were the same. I'm like, I can't decide if I like Fondant better or Chasselas better. And I think it was my brother-in-law was like,
"It's the same.
Are you making a joke?"
It's the same.
I was like, yes, I'm making a joke, obviously. He's like, it's the same one. I'm like, okay, well then, that makes sense.
Well, my notes show that the Chasselas is the name of the grape, but the locals call it Fondant because it comes from how the grape splits when it's ripe. Which I thought was really kind of interesting. We need some geekiness in here. I feel like I'm going to follow up.
I'll have to ask my brother, my other brother-in-law, who is from the canton of Vaud. But that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean,
does the word fondant have a translation?
No, but fondre means to split.
Sure, oh, there you go. Well, that's where it comes from. So that makes sense. Then.
That makes sense. Fondant?
How the grape splits when it's ripe. Yeah. I did not realize that as the phrase. So there you go.
Yeah.
So that's the interesting. And now, what pairing are we doing with this?
So again, to me, this is, and you know, I had this in my mind. I've never had this specific fondant, but I've had a lot of fondant or chasselas. So to me, these are easy to drink. Yes. Like you said, soft,
quaffable,
round, not aggressive in any way, not not a lot of sensation on the tongue or inside the cheeks. And so I picked our Cantik Light Clarifying Cream because this is our anti-acne product or anti-breakouts blemishes. And a lot of people have in their minds that anything that is meant to treat acne is super aggressive and very drying and great for the pimples, but really hurtful to the rest of the skin. And this is the complete opposite. This is based on rosemary extract. So again, your anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, also antibacterial. And it's extremely light, as the name indicates. It has a super lightweight texture. Some people even use it as a serum if you need a little more hydration. So the lightweightness of it, the total opposite of whatever aggressive would be, the softness of it, made me think of, you know, some of the same words that I would use to describe fondant. Like, fondant is not aggressive.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's not.
Not that any wine would be aggressive, but sometimes you're like, whoa, that's like a humongous thing that's happening as I'm drinking this wine. This is the total opposite of that. And so I thought the pairing with the Cantik Light Clarifying Cream would be good.
I love this. And this now explains why when I ran out of it, I never really have zits, but you know, hello world of women life. It probably explains why when I ran out of it, I started to get a couple of little ones.
Menopause.
But I do have a question for you. So I have this and then I have the cream.
The Cantik Calming Cream.
Yeah. I often use this and then put that at the end. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely fine. You can layer all of our non-SPF moisturizers. The Cantik Calming Cream that you're referring to is a little bit more hydrating.
Okay.
So this is extremely light. It's not oil-free, but it's very light. And if you are extremely oily, it's enough for you. If you're more balanced or a little bit
on the dry
side, you would want something a little more nourishing on top.
Oh, okay. That explains. This is...
You're doing everything correctly, Zina. Bravo.
I learned my lessons.
I love it.
This is so easy to wear. But you know what's great about this too? The Cantik Light Clarifying Cream is that you could just put it on and go. You know what I mean? You don't have to, if you're just in one of those days where you could barely remember to, I don't know, wash your face, thank God. Even I have wipes for the days where I just can't even manage to wash it. But you just put it on, you go. It's like the one thing and you go and then you stick some mascara on and you're good to go and you hope that you put on enough makeup that when you run into an ex-boyfriend, that at least your skin looks clean. So I love this. We've had a really good time. One of the products that we don't have here, I'm going to throw this right in here because we're on our third glass of wine. But I will say when we did the peptide promotion, there was a product that I fell in love with. The
Firming Gel for Neck and Bust.
It is. I'm hitting you. It's so fabulous. It is so wonderful. There is something about it. You just elegantly like kind of put it all over in here. It's just, it always makes me feel refreshed, but like a little sexy. You know, if I'm wearing a little top, you know, the V-necks at the summertime, I kind of slip it on. I love it.
And look, you're describing self-care. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What
100%
is the goal?
Self-care. Yeah.
For you to feel good about yourself, for you to feel sexy, for you to feel, you know, energized and youthful and all these things that should you run into your ex-boyfriend, you have no cares in the world. And
at
you're
the
like,
Apple
Hi.
Store when you're there
Look
with
at
your
me.
Current
this
boyfriend.
This is me and I am fabulous and I feel fabulous. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And self-care gets sacrificed a lot. And I think people think they're being selfish if they do that. But, you know, I always go with what they say on the airlines, right? Like you have to put your own oxygen mask on first before you can take care of anybody else. And so
say again what you said. You can't.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
That's right.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Yep. You've got to have it. So
I absolutely love
it. I'm all in on the self-care. Wine is self-care.
Absolutely.
Not for things. And has the same ingredients.
Well, I know, we're loving
and some
that.
Of the things.
So do you think that wine drinking is culturally different across your world? So the DMV, Louisiana, Switzerland, even Greece?
I do. I've not thought about this until right now, but I absolutely do. I think, as we were saying earlier, you know, New Orleans especially is not a wine city. It's really about the craft cocktail. And so the pride that the bartenders have and the restaurateurs have is really cocktail forward, to the point where I go to parties and there's no wine.
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but exactly. Yeah. And I'm right. Like, but I can't, I don't drink hard right. liquor.
Yeah. You do drink beer though.
Yeah. I'll have a beer if I must and, you know, sparkling water if I must also. But that was very strange to me. Like, what do you mean there's no wine?
What are they making? Like cocktail, like Sazeracs or just like some bourbon? And
there's bourbon, you know, and with all the fixing, mm-hmm. A lot of vodka.
Oh.
Also with
it's a party. That's the thing. Like New Orleans is based around going out and performance and parties and different festivals and things like that. A lot of times in some of the places. And so you get a lot of that where it's a cocktail bar and everything is lined up like that too.
Yeah. And it's also based around the pride around cocktails.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like they consider cocktails like a recipe, like how you would make food. And so pouring wine from a bottle, there's no pride in that because you're not making something. In Switzerland, we're very much a wine drinking country, as we've said. And I think there's the group that drinks Swiss wines, and then there's the group that drink not Swiss wines. And my parents being the latter.
Do they lean more towards, because where you're located, is there more towards France, more towards Italy, more towards Germany? Or is it in Switzerland what you're closest to you might lean more to?
My family definitely leads more towards French. Mm-hmm. And then my father will have good Italian red as well because he's Italian.
What about Alsatian? Because you're not that far.
Yeah, we don't.
No?
You know, I'm sure a different part of Switzerland would.
Would, okay.
And then, I mean, here in D.C., I feel like we have a really nice wine
culture. I agree.
Culture.
Yeah.
You know, with we have wine bars. Mm-hmm. Like,
you're sitting in one.
Yeah, like, duh, hello, here.
Yes.
I'm sure the ratio, this would be an interesting statistic, the ratio of wine bars to cocktail bars here versus New Orleans, would be totally flipped, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. And you do have people more passionate, like again, at book club, we'd have, one of our friends was like, a Sancerre. Another friend was like, I only drink red. Yeah. Another was like, I really want to have champagne.
She only drinks Pinot Noir.
Right.
And then Heidi only drinks Sancerre.
And then
I only drink Chardonnay at book club. So we had a nice collection of.
And we always needed a sparkling. Like,
and I have to bring 5 bottles of wine.
We had all good.
Yeah, we did have a wonderful book club on that. The other thing about you when you're saying about New Orleans is, you know, every year they do the Tales of the Cocktail.
Exactly.
Which is huge. And I'm dying to go down to it. And it's a big, mainly an industry event.
It's like the Super Bowl of cocktails.
Yes, it is. And they do some incredible classes. It's easily attainable, too, within or without the industry. You can actually attend a lot of the things.
And that's New Orleans. Really it's a remarkable culture. And that makes perfect sense that you said, like, they look at it like a recipe, like food, because the food culture there is so strong as well. Mm-hmm. And they're so fiercely proud of it and protective of it. You know, it reminds me in certain things of the regulations in Europe where they're like, no, that cannot go in a gumbo.
Yes, exactly.
That is not correct.
All the conversations I've had about this with my husband.
Yes. What about when you are hanging out in the summer in Greece? What are you drinking?
So we are, as we said earlier, in Tinos, which is an island in the Cyclades. And one of the most beautiful things about being there is most of what we eat and drink is from there.
Okay.
So, you know, the Greek salad, everything will have been grown on Tinos. And this is very different than how we live here in the U.S. where everything is frozen and shipped, and except maybe if you're in California, you know, or if you go to a farmer's market, but on average. And so we have discovered, I believe there are now 6 vineyards on Tinos.
How big is Tinos?
Nice.
I mean, just like
you and your geography questions.
I just wanted. Is it
that's
like
the only thing I asked you not to ask me?
But is it like fewer than 1,000 people? Is it bigger than I expect?
This I can say.
Yeah.
So in year round, so take away the summer months or Easter, there's under 1,000 people.
Oh yeah, that's what I really want to know. So it's
and then you know the season, like most islands in Greece.
And they have 6 vineyards.
Yeah.
And wow. they have six vineyards. And the during high season, which is between Orthodox Easter and right about now, everything starts to shut down now, I think we get to 7,500 to 10,000 people.
So still petite. Yeah.
It's petite, yeah. but yeah. overcrowded at that yeah. point, if you ask me. and yes, there's a. It was five, and then I think the sixth vineyard just opened. We haven't yet gone to visit. And the grapes in Greece are very different. So the red is called Mavrotragano.
Ooh.
And the white is either Malagousia or Assyrtiko.
Assyrtiko.
Yeah. And Assyrtiko.
Yeah. It's about the only one I know from there.
Oh my
God. Santorini. Like
yes, thank you. Santorini. I was going to say the most, I think, famous wines from the Cyclades is from Santorini, mm-hmm. and Santorini is known for its Assyrtikos. Mm-hmm. But so we like
and
to
the
drink.
Mavro. Yeah, the Zinomavros.
Yeah. yeah, and the Mavrotragano is a big, bold, not aggressive, but like super strong red grape.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to support the local vineyards, and so we drink.
Is that usually served in a carafe or a bottle? I mean, how like...
No, these are bottle wines.
Yeah.
The you're thinking village wine.
Yeah.
Oh, this... You know, because also every taverna owner makes their own wine.
Yeah.
These are served in a carafe, and these can be very different colors.
I love how she
vary
says that.
Between white and red and everything in between, brown, orange, yeah. beige.
Right, whatever.
And that is also supporting, you know, the local.
There's nothing wrong with a glass of anything, right?
Have you seen the vineyards? You know, like what the grape.
We have visited one. It's called Tionos. It's the only one that we've been to. We keep saying we love it so much. We go now every time that we go to Tinos.
Okay.
So we've done the tour, I think, six times. And we keep saying we need to go and visit some of the other vineyards, but we have not yet.
Do the vines look different? Because I know like in some parts of Greece where they grow the vines, they train them very low to the ground to avoid the winds because they're on an island and they avoid the winds and things like that.
Tinos is very windy, but the vines look about the same height as
a regular vine.
Okay. At least in my untrained eye.
We do serve, we sell a bottle here. It's a Sauvignon Blanc. Why can I not say Assyrtiko? It's because it's three glasses in and we have one more glass to go.
Assyrtiko.
It's Technia Lipias. It's from near the village of Drama. We've served that, and the Black Sheep was another one. But the Sauvignon Blanc we have here is...
I love Greek wines.
Yeah, so, it's a real fun one. We almost kind of threw that in here in homage. But yeah.
Their whites tend to be very high acid.
Yeah. They are, and actually I don't love Assyrtiko. It's way too acidic for me. Yeah. The Malagousia is a little bit, you said rounder?
Rounder.
Yeah, it's a little bit rounder.
A little softer on the acid.
And you know, the wines from Tino specifically, you don't often find them exported either. To the U.S. They're sometimes exported to some neighboring European countries. But overall, I find a lot more options of Greek wines, not Tinos wines, mm-hmm. but Greek wines on menus here versus Swiss wines.
Yep.
There are a few.
There's like there was a big push about 10 years ago, I think, in what I saw of Greek wines coming in. I think they did a big push, and now you see them in everything from like Total Wine and like, you know, mm-hmm. even...
Well, we all know what one of our favorite tastings is going to be. We're going to do a Yala Greek ice cream
wine.
And believe it or not, Renee and Chris Skafalis worked together a bunch of years
ago. Opposing counsel.
Counsel. I say work
we
together.
We work together. We actually work very well
you
together.
You went but, to yeah. battle together.
Yeah. And how many years ago was that?
Oh, it's been probably 10 years.
Yeah. And she said to me one day, she goes, "You know Chris Skafalis?" I go, "Yeah." I go, "Was at his wedding with Tommy?" As were you. And she's like, "Oh my God, I worked with him." It was so sweet. So we recently... Well,
you know, Chris Olavalas Kafala, you know, Kafala, or Chris... Chris I can't say his name now. Chris Olavantis Kafalas. And I'm like, that's a very unique name.
Yes. It's not
so when
forget.
It was like, "You're friends with that guy?" I'm like, "I know him."
Have to maybe do something all together because we've been talking to the team at Yala also about doing something with alchemy. You know,
it's super fun.
It's like there's so much that could be
and Greek yogurt. Going
oh my God, their ice cream is so
their
delicious.
Their ice cream is delicious. Their pistachio.
Yes.
I told Sala, mm-hmm. the third man involved in this whole thing, it's one of the best pistachio ice creams that I've had.
I had the pistachio too. It was fabulous.
Oh, yeah. I think I was with you when you had
and I had the one that had like the cakey thing, mm-hmm. like something with orange and cake. So we're going to pair that mm-hmm. with ice cream, which I think is going to be a challenge, but we're very, very excited about it.
All right, for it.
We are going to move to the last one. So take a sip. But do you see how that's open since then? Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pour here. And we are going to move to our last one. Oh, you want me to dump?
Dump.
Yep. Just dump that in there. there because it is a work day today. So this is the Humana Rouge. I'm going to pour a little bit here, Renee, then I'm going to pass you the bottle to pour so we can do this carefully. We picked this one. We had a little challenge because, again, as you were saying, it's a little hard to find some wines, and we just wanted a fourth. And this is a red wine.
Why not?
It's going to be a little bit more bolder, a little bit more. Here, I got it over here. A little bit more bolder. It's definitely a richer color. What do you got going on that? Oh, wow. That's pretty.
I've never had this wine. In your tasting notes, you said it's similar to Cornella, which is, like you say, it's a little more than a Pinot.
Yeah, it's a little more than a Pinot. It gives a little bit more in the mouthfeel, but it's still smoother. I like this. Yeah.
I get a little more fruit on the nose.
Yeah.
On this one.
You know, I think one thing that I've never had in terms of Swiss wine is like a really big Cabernet equivalent, like a big, very really bold.
And I think that's a climate. It's climate. It's going to be too cool to get the ripeness.
This is probably in the as far as you can get.
It does have a little spice going on to it.
It has a little spice going on.
But more like cloves as opposed to pepper. And I think what you don't like is the pepper.
I don't taste pepper.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it, but no.
No. And that's a really good lesson, right? We always say, think this and taste it, but I don't get that. Think cloves. Think those kind of spices, more along that. This will be interesting. We opened this quite some time ago, and I'm really interested to see how it kind of continues to open up.
It's known as the Cornelian dust.
Yeah, read that. Italy. Read the whole 2022.
It's 2022 Appellation d'Origine Contrôlée.
No,
AOC, of Valais, known as Cornelian d'Aoste in Italy, despite the tenacious legends that insist on the similarity with the Oriu, the red Humana has nothing in common with the Oriu. The white Humana or the Valaisan Cornelian, which is what that's called. The Oriu is the white
version.
Cultivated exclusively in the Valais nowadays, this long-forgotten grape variety.
Oh. I can't believe you could read something that small. This is really one of the things
we talk about, the fact that the translation on this is not the best in the back, is nowadays, and yeah.
We do talk about sometimes with labels you need to know. That's funny.
The translation is not always the best.
I can't even see
over the last two decades,
so
there have been a revival of interest, and its area under cultivation has been increasing year by year. This is some very
rough translation.
That's a lot of
info on the back of a
Chat GPT. I'm saying Humana Rouge goes wonderfully with game, grilled meats, wild poultry, and hard cheeses.
I would go with duck with this. I think
because
duck.
You would get all that from the food, and this is a little bit milder, right?
Yeah. It's not going to overpower the food, but you still want something rich. My thought
you
is
want something
duck.
Rich. Yeah, you always want. What does Ray Isle say? You always want one star at the table, either the food or the wine.
So
if you have a really complex wine, you want a simple dish. If you have a really complex dish, you want a simpler wine.
I could put some truffles over mushrooms.
You
and
could,
eat this.
And I would not sit anywhere near it.
It's the last thing she would.
And
she
I
would
think
want.
You said something really interesting. I think Swiss wines are relatively simple.
They're not complicated.
They're not particularly complicated, I would say, because there's still things going on in
and
this.
And I mean this not in a bad way.
Yeah.
This
agreed.
Is actually coming from me. This is a compliment.
Approachable. Yeah. My reaction is solely from we literally learned the word and how they use the word simple in our class last night.
So
and
teach me.
This would be your W-set class.
My W-set class. And it is in an assessment of a wine, simple would be like your base level Pinot Grigio. There's like nothing particularly going on in it. That's not these wines.
No.
There's a lot of different, if you can get two or three things on the nose, two or three things on the palate, that's not a simple wine.
So what do I mean when I say these wines are simple?
I think they're not, these are not bold, overly complex, overly winemaker wines. Although you do like some winemaking in your Chardonnays.
Yes, that is true.
They're but your reds, not as much. And I think they're very approachable wines. They're food friendly wines. You're not going to like get this and have somebody go, like you could give these red, you could give any of these wines
to anyone.
I think
and they'd be fine.
Any typical American wine drinker, and they're going to think it's something. They're going to like, that's recognizable to me. that's not, it's not weird. It's not out there. It's, they're lovely wines. They're not, you're not going to get 27 things. And I don't know how long you would age this. That depends on
probably not
a bunch of different things. But I think it's a really lovely wine. It's not overly complicated, but it's not simple.
And this is a wine.
You would, I will revise my verbiage.
I love it.
And again, solely because we learned that last night in my class.
This is perfect timing.
This is good.
Now, I opened this up about an hour ago. I think that's about right for this wine. It needed a little bit of air. It's smooth. It's smooth. It's easy drinking. It's approachable.
It's opening up. It's developing.
It's kind of a medium body. You can do it with or without food. But to me, when I drink wine, I often think, like, what would I do?
It's like a pale ruby still. It's not a bold, deep, dark. There's, it's not a lot of tannin.
No, there's not a lot
there's
of tannin.
There's not a lot of tannin in it.
Yep. So what would you pair this with?
So I left, I shouldn't say the best for last, but kind of the best for last. So I paired this with our Cantig Brightening Moisture Mask. So, you know, there's no video here, but I am going to open this and show the color.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a orangish, pinkish, beigeish color. And in this product, we use the whole red grape. So just like we said, the Merlot sparkling is white, which was surprising to me until Renee reminded me there's no skin in there. In this product, the whole red grape. So we use the pulp, the seed, and the skin. And the skin is what gives the product this color because we don't use any artificial
dyes. Like wine.
Yep. Just like wine. And so this to me is the perfect red wine bigger than Pinot Noir red wine pairing. It has, the mask has a little bit of spice. It's a pretty active product. It's actually a low pH, so it's slightly more acidic than the skin. Okay. And we know wine grapes are acidic fruit, so it's from the high concentration of, again, that whole red grape. So sometimes you feel a little heat in your skin. So that to me went with the spice of the gentle spice, you know, of this wine. And then I mean, the whole red grape, you know, the color, the colors go together.
Matches great.
And, you know, I still talk to so many consumers who associate a bubble bath, associate a mask, a facial mask with a bubble bath, with a candle, with a glass of wine, and the bathroom door closed. And this is like the, the vision of, you know, a wonderful evening alone. And I think in most of our lives, this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But we can put the mask on, go about our catching up on emails, watching a TV show. I sometimes even do my vacuuming with the mask on and also have a glass of wine. And that is kind of the modern day equivalent of, well, I'm missing the bath.
Self-care.
I'm missing the bubbles, but it is self-care. Right. Exactly.
And vacuuming and getting things done is also self-care at times.
I use 100%.
I use this with my mom. I bought her a mask one day, and I was like, we're going to put this mask on. And I have the best picture of my mother giving me the finger while she was wearing, not your mask, just some mask that I bought. And so then I was like, I came back after we did our promo.
She's
for the
love
peptide.
That reference.
She will, my mom. And I did the entire ritual with of the Alchemy Forever products. And we started with this, and she was like, well, this is different. And she really enjoyed it. And we took it for like it was like an hour long of us doing masks and all these different things. And she really enjoyed that because it doesn't weigh you down or make you feel like you can't, you're trying to like breathe through the mask. That was the sound of me breathing through
and
the mask.
And it doesn't harden. It doesn't
Yes, it doesn't
leak.
Do that.
You know, some masks leak in your neck.
You don't
so
start
disgusting.
Feeling that feeling.
It's not a sheet mask. It's also, the color is actually not that far away from color of Caucasian skin. So even if you're with someone, it's not like you have a bright yellow or bright green thing on your face.
And you look scared.
And you look scared and scary. It's a very lovely.
But it's okay to 100% lean into that. Like, just wear the mask in front of other people. Like,
totally. I put this on sometimes when I'm on the plane for a longer flight, you know, because airplane
travel. Ooh, I'm doing that when we go to Ireland.
So, you totally should. Yeah. Airplane travel is so dehydrating to the skin. Oh, yes. And so I put it on thinly, you know, like a moisturizer, and I'm a little dewy, but no one freaks out. My seatmate doesn't know what's going on with my face. And so it's
That's a really good idea, because I tend to dust on airplanes.
We do it at when we're going snowboarding. When we're out all day
you
long,
told me this,
we put we put a little bit, like just like you said, like a little dab, rub it right in, and then we're out and snowboarding, and because your skin really dries when you're out all day long.
Yes, and in the winter, you know, when it's dry.
You just use it as an overnight mask as well.
Mm-hmm. We did
you
it with our
overnight.
You can use it as an overnight mask, and you know we started the skincare conversation with the peptide lip booster, and I was saying this is going to be your must-have holiday accessory. This is the OG holiday accessory because this helps you glow through the holidays, through the stress of holidays, through the holiday
dehydration of holidays because you're drinking.
The dehydration of holidays because of too much of this wonderful thing that is wine. Also through the, you know, the winter stress on the skin. So redness, dryness, windburn, cold burn. So we have your skin covered.
Yes.
For the upcoming holiday and winter months.
All right. So we're going to do a real quick fire. Renee, you want to do these?
Sure.
Yep. Yeah.
You ready? Red, white, or bubbles?
All.
Yes. Spirit animal. Favorite wine region outside of Switzerland?
California.
Okay.
Any particular area? Any particular area?
Yes, Russian River Valley, the Central Coast.
Okay.
I love the Central
Coast. Oh, and the Central Coast as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. You know who has a winery in the Central Coast? Alicia Moore, also known as Pink.
Oh.
But that's okay. We're going to get that thing. Fondue or raclette with wine?
Both. At different times. Fondue only in the winter for me.
Only in the winter. Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. Interesting.
Do you need a view of mountains?
Yes.
Okay.
Preferably.
Are there any mountains in Virginia that you would consider mountains and or go to?
And now you're asking me the geography questions. I'm sure we can find one.
Okay. That's a wonder. I have a good friend, Leslie, from California. I'm like, Shenandoah Mountain. She goes, those aren't mountains.
Oh, those are mountains.
Those are big hills. Yeah. And I'm like, they're older than, like, never mind.
That's a different podcast.
One skincare step. You're on a desert island. You get one thing. What do you never skip?
Mm. Well, if you're on a desert island, you need SPF.
SPF, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is more relaxing for you? I feel like I already know the answer to this. A glass of wine or a face mask?
Both.
See, I love that Adam knows you don't have to choose. I love that.
You don't have to choose.
I love that. So we had four wines today and four gorgeous products. We had the sparkling Merlot. We paired that with the lip peptide. We had the Pinot Noir and the gentle refining scrub. We did the fondant with the Cantic Light Clarifying Cream, and we did the Humana Rouge with the, what's the official name to it?
The Cantic Brightening Moisture Mask.
And it's absolutely wonderful. This is a great way to learn about skincare. So, Ada, we're up to our last couple of questions. What is in your glass when you just want a glass of wine?
A California Chardonnay. And I can be more specific, actually, right now, in the super approachable price point, it has a bicycle on the label. It starts with an H.
Harkin. Harkin. Is that the one you wrote? Yeah, Harkin.
Oh, yeah.
Harkin. You gave me the note.
Yes. Yeah. I'm consistent with my notes.
All right, I'm going to have to try that because I'm really fascinated by it. I love a California Chard.
It's a very slight upgrade from Yellowtail.
Okay. I love a California Chard. All of my friends know this. I love a California Chard. I love a little bit of oak.
I'm less of a California Chard
person. Well, now we have typically our last question. Did you have a suggestion? Should we bring this up?
No, I think one of the things, because I know you said you're not as much of a...
Our last question is always, what's your favorite
Pink? What's your favorite Pink song? Right. And
what's the most favorite, most famous Pink song?
Raise a Glass, probably, in our world.
Raise a Glass would be in the world, yeah. Raise a Glass for that.
I can't sing.
I mean, I think it's not really matter that. I think one of the things that I do about why we ask that is because I went to our concert and it was like so thoroughly inspired and motivated to like change my life completely and do a bunch of different things. So what is a moment in your life or someone in your life, an artist, it doesn't have to be a musician, something from an artistic standpoint or cultural standpoint that motivated you to be like, this is right. I'm in the right space. I'm doing the right thing.
That's a great question.
That is a great question. Let me start with, when in my life have I felt like I was in the right place? And I don't know if there's a song that goes with that.
It doesn't have to be a song.
But I remember I was living in Brookline, Massachusetts. I was probably 7 years old, or 8 years old. This was after the wine episode with my dad drinking fancy French wine. Mm-hmm. And my sister Cyril and I were playing in the back, like, it's not the backyard, it was like the back alley. And our neighbor came out and she was like, hey girls, do you want to learn how to do tie-dye? And she taught us how to do tie-dye t-shirts. And this to me was one of the most American experiences. I knew what tie-dye was. Right, like, right. I knew what it looked like. I didn't know you could make
it. Had you only been in the U.S. for a little while?
I'd been in the U.S. for under a year. So I spent 2 years in the United States from 6 to 8.
Gotcha.
And this was during the first of that year. And this is why I wanted to come back to the U.S. for college.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I'm going to learn how to make tie-dye. And then she also taught us to fix our bicycles. And this is something that my parents often say. They're like, you know, you ended up coming back to the U.S. because in the U.S., girls fix their own bicycles.
Oh, my God. I actually love that.
Yeah. And so I had I knew in those experiences with our backdoor neighbor, who was this lovely woman and, you know, probably around my age now. And she seemed like she knew everything about everything. Mm-hmm. She could teach us to do tie-dye t-shirts. She could teach us to put the chain back on the bike.
That's a badass woman.
I'm like, I want to be just like her, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be just like her. And I haven't done tie-dye since or ridden a bicycle since. But, you know, I'm here.
But it's your favorite wine that has a bicycle on it.
And I will tell you.
Oh, there you go.
And I will tell you that my favorite Bing song overall is called I Am Here.
Well, there you go.
And that was a song.
I will go back home, and I will, between now and the weekend, listen to I Am Here, because that's
what
I felt.
Get it on YouTube, DC National Park, Pink Live doing I Am Here in the rainstorm, end of time rainstorm.
Very powerful.
It is very powerful. Thank you for saying that and sharing that story, because honestly, right now, with America being kind of a dumpster fire, hearing such a better angels of our nature story about American, and particularly American women, which I like. It reminds me of my mom, because my mom was somebody that taught me those very same things. I was raised by a single mom.
And
it was, we can fix that tennis racket. You don't have to take that in
she's
somewhere.
She's 87 and
she's
still 80, riding.
She's 85 and she was bush hogging yesterday.
Tracker.
Yeah, like doing things today.
Yes. And I think it's, as you said, especially these days, it's important to remember. And, you know, for me, I came here from Switzerland. I chose this country.
Yeah.
And it's important for myself to remind myself of why I didn't.
Another great t-shirt.
Every day. But especially these days. And, you know, we have much wonderful things ahead.
Well, absolutely.
That's been
fantastic.
Fabulous. Renee?
What? Before we stop, though, one more time.
Yes.
What is the code?
Sip and Spa.
Sip and Spa. And tell the website.
Yes. So Sip and Spa until October 31st, 20% off any order. And the website is alchemy-forever.com, alchemy-forever.com. And also please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at alchemyforever.
Absolutely.
And we'll put all the links in the podcast notes.
Absolutely. Renee, remind everybody how to follow us.
Please follow us. Like and subscribe. Share it with a friend who needs skincare. Share with
who needs skincare.
Who needs skincare.
Oh, okay, because that came out
who
funny.
Needs, who needs skincare?
Pour a glass of wine in, people. So.
Yeah.
Share with
somebody
a friend
who needs skincare.
Not who needs.
Yeah.
The power of language.
The power of language. Who needs skincare? Follow us on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. We're all over the place. When you just want a glass of wine.com, when you just want a glass of wine on Instagram and Facebook.
So, yep. And when you just want a glass of wine.
When you just want a glass of wine.
Pour a glass, put on a mask, and remember, it's not indulgence, it's maintenance. We love you.
Self-care.
Thank you for being here
self-care.
With us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Cheers everybody.
Cheers. Woof, that's four bottles in. That was a great afternoon. It's not even afternoon.